people are tremendous. This summer, let's get grounded. Feel the ancient earth beneath our feet. Smell the rich soil after the rain. Sift the sand through our fingers. Connect ourselves to each other, to all of creation, and to the spirit of the living God who meets us in the dirt. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link, our weekly email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about life in the congregation. And did I already say, if you're with us for the first time, welcome? Did I say that part? I'm just gonna say it again, because we are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming of people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions, and I'd rather say it twice than not say it at all. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground on the stage. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to the nursery. And this is intergenerational worship, which we expect means there will be lots of joyful noise and no long sermon. Anna, our summer musician, is unfortunately sick today, so unfortunately you'll hear more of my voice over the mic. We're gonna sing a cappella. It's gonna be awesome. You're already into it. We're perfect. Bill's gonna come forward and talk about one of the ways in which we are living out our ministry as a congregation.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Bill. I just wanted to bring to your attention a new opportunity for us to help serve the town. I noticed that the last time there was a heating emergency in the town, they identified cooling centers at the community center and the library and the mall. But on Sundays in the summer, the community center and the library are closed. So I thought, why not FCC? We've got a vestry, it's air conditioned. So I reached out to the town with Wayne and met with Chief Hicks. And I don't know whether you know him or not, but he morphed it into something much more interesting and challenging for us. Basically, he said, well, what if we have a cooling emergency where a town-sponsored residential area loses their air conditioning? You guys open to that? And I said, I don't know, I haven't talked to my pastor. So, and then what about a heating emergency if the heating goes out? I said, I don't know. I said, well, if you're interested and if you're available, and only if you're available, we'd like to have you be part of that response team. So I met with Cindy and a couple of others, and we thought it was a great idea. No pressure, but we need to have volunteers if there is such an emergency so that the church is monitored by members, and we also need to be Corey cleared. So if you're interested, see me or Cindy or call the office. We'll need to know whether you're available. And I understand there's going to be short notice. You may be out of town. That's okay. But we do need a core group of folks that I can call or Cindy can call and say, hey, can you come in for 2 hours on such and such a day? So that's it. Thanks, you.
Thanks, Bill. Isn't Bill a cool guy? Okay. We are continuing summer worship this week, which means our bulletin is a generic communion bulletin. So the hymns that we'll be singing a cappella are on a separate piece of paper, and you can certainly take the bulletin with you if you want to write notes on it, or you can leave it for us to use other Sundays this summer. This is a communion Sunday, so folks at home, I invite you to get a little bit of food and drink in the sanctuary, in the vestry, we are having gluten-free bread and grape juice. This ritual of remembrance is open to all to participate in whatever way is meaningful and comfortable for you. There are also envelopes for the communion fund for those of you on site. These donations help our neighbors in times of financial crisis. You can also give online or send contributions to the church office. Just indicate communion fund in the memo line. Starting tomorrow, I'm off for 2 weeks, but I am available for pastoral emergencies. You can contact the church office if you need that information. And Sarah Lynn is back from sabbatical on Tuesday. This is our director of spiritual vitality and congregational care, who I trust has had a wonderful 6-week sabbatical. Can't wait to be together again. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning, I'm Gail. Please join me in the call to worship, and your response will be, "Come as you are." Come, brothers and sisters and siblings,
come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let us worship together.
Come
as you are.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is "Love Lays a Splendid Table." As Cindy mentioned, we do not. It looks like Cindy is at the. Are you going to give us an opening note? An opening note. Okay. And the tune's familiar, but the words are new. They'll both be on the screen, and they're in your insert. Please be seated. Our centering prayer begins with a little bit of silence. Nice.
Relatively speaking.
May the quiet be an invitation to slow down and to breathe deeply and be present here and now. Let us pray. God of the Rocky Mountain, the city park, the community garden, you take mere dust and turn it into beauty, community, life. May we dig deep roots into your love and know that we too are dirt, precious and holy dirt, fertile soil for the beloved community Jesus showed us when he taught us to pray, saying, "Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dirt, earth, land, fences, borders, war. Too often people have fought over the very soil beneath our feet, determined to mark it as their own. God calls us another way. He calls us to peace, peace with the earth, peace of the earth, and peace on the earth. This morning, may we share peace with those gathered here and earthlings everywhere. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Make you all join the choir. Our scripture reading this morning is a healing story. Jesus heals a blind man. There are lots of healing stories in the Bible, lots of stories in the Bible where Jesus heals somebody, and even several where Jesus heals somebody who can't see. But this is the only healing story, as far as I can recall, where the healer makes a mud pie with spit. Now, healing stories in the Bible can be tricky. They sometimes come with baggage, theological or medical or sociological ideas that don't make any sense to us today. Healing stories can also be tricky because they come with the assumption that someone who is blind or deaf or can't walk is in need of fixing. But we know now that that's a limited view of the human experience. Every way of being human comes with both gifts and burdens. So let's not assume that every blind person just yearns for sight, and let's remember that we're all beautifully broken somehow. With all that in mind, Gail and I will tell this healing story together.
Hear these words from the Gospel according to John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth.
So far, so good? Yeah, you'd think so. But a few verses later, it will be clear that Jesus didn't walk by a blind man who was doing his groceries. This isn't a visually impaired person just going about routine business. This man is sitting by the side of the road begging. Because that was the fate of many disabled people in Jesus's community, not fully embraced and integrated members of society, but individuals pushed to the margins, seen as other and avoided and judged.
Jesus' disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
Yeah, too often illness or disability were seen as God's judgment on sinful people. That was awfully convenient for the community, because if someone was so sinful that God punishes them with deafness or paralysis, then it must be okay for society to shove those people to the side, neither help them nor value them, just pretend they don't exist. We allegedly know better now, but yet you can't always tell that by society's actions. At any rate, the disciples clearly accepted that idea and just wanted to know who the sinner was. The man or his parents? Wasn't a question of whether or not sin was involved. It's just, who's the bad guy? They don't even see the man as someone they can engage with, talk to, or help. He is an object lesson, a chance to pick Jesus's brain. Let's see what Jesus says.
Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works, of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
I was so excited for a second there when Jesus dismissed the disciples' connection between disability and sin. But then he also turned the man into an object lesson. This person who has been begging by the side of the road for years, that's just been happening so God could like put on a show. I have to disagree with Jesus there. That doesn't fit with the God of love and justice. But it does fit a little bit with the Gospel of John, where there is a focus on symbols that reveal God to those who are in the know. In many of Jesus' healing stories, no cause is brought up, like sin or divine show and tell, just the recognition that God's kingdom is near, and so that's why healing is possible. So let's get on with the healing, Gail.
When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent.
So maybe it's just as well that the man couldn't see this, but it probably didn't sound so great either. Jesus spits on the ground. Then he scoops up the damp earth, works it into mud, and then puts the mud on the man's eyes. I am sure the man was relieved to hear Jesus' next instructions, "Go wash it all off."
And then the man went and washed and came back able to see.
Now just to be clear, the Pool of Siloam isn't a cement swimming pool. There was a spring, an underground river, and people carved out rocks until there was a sort of bowl in the earth that would fill up with water from the spring. That's where the man went to wash the spit mud out of his eyes. So imagine, he goes into the water with mud on his face and comes out able to see for the very first time. But as the man's vision clears, his neighbor's vision is getting cloudier.
The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but someone like him."
Now the man can see, but his neighbors can't? Did the mud act like some kind of amazing spa treatment, so now he's unrecognizable? Probably not. More likely, his neighbors weren't used to looking at him and seeing an actual person. He was not a beautiful, beloved child of God, but a blind beggar by the side of the road. Not a unique glimpse of the divine, but something more like a piece of furniture or livestock, something to be negotiated around or cared for. Now that he's moving among them, it's like they have a new neighbor. Makes you wonder, who in this story was really blind? Anyway, people keep asking the man with new vision if he is the guy who was previously begging by the side of the road.
And he kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight."
The crowd is finally starting to get it. So now they want to track down this miracle worker.
The crowd said to the man, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know. I do not know." These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and the wisdom to live them.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Gail. "Where is he?" asked the crowd. That's what Ms. Gail just read. So children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. The crowd wants to know where the miracle worker has gone. This guy who could heal people with dirt and spit. They wanted to know where he had gone. "And I don't know," said the man who had just been healed. So here's what I imagine. The crowd looks around. They're looking for this miracle worker who is spitting and and making mud and spreading it on people's eyes. I would love it if there was some acting out of this Bible story at home later today. Anyway, so they're looking around trying to see who might have done this, and they don't see anybody anywhere who looks like they could be working miracles. There are some grubby out-of-towners hanging out near the temple, but they clearly had nothing to do with this amazing miracle. But then the crowd sees it on the ground, the mud. When the miracle worker mixed the dirt and the spit to make the mud and then slapped it on the man's eyes, some of that miracle mud fell to the ground and it was just sitting there. Suddenly everybody dashed over to the spray of mud and pushed each other out of the way and started scooping it up. They started spreading the mud over their own bodies, any place that was hurting. Nobody in the crowd was blind, but one person had a terrible toothache, so they dotted some on their jaw. Another person was having stomach aches, not because of anything that they ate, but because they were worried about what Rome was doing to the people, so they spread some on their belly, put some mud on their belly. Somebody else couldn't stop thinking about the future. Their thoughts went around and around and around in their heads until they couldn't sleep, so they rubbed some mud into their temples, just like that, put it right there. Another person who was missing their best friend, who had moved away. They and their friend used to walk down the street holding hands, so now their hand felt so empty, they squeezed some mud between their fingers. Finally, there were just a few drops of mud left. The last person pinched it between their fingers and carefully spread it over their heart. They'd been feeling so alone, so left out and forgotten, that it felt like their heart was broken. Then the rest of the village saw those folks walking around with miracle mud on their bellies and their hands and their hearts. And because this was unusual, the villagers asked them about it. So the people wearing the mud told the others about the sadness and the loneliness and the worry and the toothache. Their neighbors listened, like they really listened. They hadn't known about the stress and the pain. But now that they did, they could help with visits and chats and food and tissues. The people wearing all the mud were amazed. They started to feel better and better. It really was miracle mud. They were so glad that they had been nearby when that Jesus guy was spitting in the dirt. It changed their lives. Except for the person with the toothache, they still had to go to the dentist. Amen. We don't have a musical response. You aren't going anywhere. The point of a musical response is usually for a couple things. One, it's so I can drink water, which I'm just going to do. And the other reason is for like when the kids are leaving, but the kids aren't leaving today, so it's perfect. This is not that time. You're free to stay back there, but just so you know, this is the first musical response. You're thinking of the second musical response. So let me just tell you right now why. You see our worship team is hovering at the back. You see Mr. Rick. Mr. Rick, wave your hands. And you see Mr. David back there. Mr. David, wave your hands. People in the playground, do you see our worship team at the back? Young kids who are in the middle of the congregation, Declan. They have some stuff at the back. What do you gentlemen have at the back there? Just tell me.
Bread?
What is the bread for?
Well, I think it's
going to
be a feast.
There's going to be a feast. Do you have feast in Sunday school? You know what feast is, right? So we're going to have feast all together, and I'm about to blah, blah, blah for a few more minutes, and then after I'm done with, and really is, it's a short blah, blah, blah. After that blah, 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 we need to get the bread and the grape juice from way back there to way down here. When it's time, would you be willing to help? Excellent. All right. So Mr. David and Mr. Rick are back there. They're just going to relax for a few minutes, and then they'll be ready to help you help us by bringing the bread and grape juice forward. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now I'm going to drink water. Jesus, it seems, wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. Literally, in this morning's scripture reading. But why? There were lots of times that Jesus healed without dirt, although he did use spit remarkably frequently. But this using dirt, I think maybe it goes back to the beginning, like all the way back, to the very beginning. There, fine, there, well, I don't know. I don't know what you're seeing, but I... All the way back to the very beginning. What's the first book of the Bible? Genesis. Excellent job. That is the first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, which Jesus certainly would have known. And Jesus would have known the words from Genesis chapter 2, the ones that began this series on dirt, when God picked up some of the dust of the ground and used it to make a human being. Genesis does not mention God spitting. It talks about a stream bubbling up into that dust of the earth, but maybe they just didn't want to start the Bible with God spit. Either way, Jesus picks up the very earth from which we are made in the beginning and uses that to heal the man. We are the dirt, my friends. Jesus got his hands dirty with us, used us to bring healing, put us to work to bring the man from the margins into community, used us to not only fix the man's vision, but also the vision of his neighbors. We are the healing mud, my friends, getting our hands dirty for justice and love like Jesus did. Sometimes literally planting gardens and making bread and tending wounds, but more often there's no dirt visible to the outside world. As we speak out in the face of injustice, share what we have with those in need. Stand up for and with those who have been silenced. We are miracle mud made from ordinary dirt and holy spit. Together, we can heal the world. Amen. All right, who is ready to go help Mr. Rick and Mr. David with the communion elements? Please go to the back if you would like to help them. There is no pressure, but come carefully down from the stage. Very carefully. We're going to the back. And even if you're not carrying something, you can be part of the communion parade. You're going to come right down this center aisle and meet me. There is important and holy work happening at the back of the room right now. Please bring the communion elements forward. You are doing a great job. I should have said these could be a little bit on camera. I hope that's okay with parents. It should just be the back of them. Beautifully done. Thank you. You can bring it right to me. Beautiful. Thank you. Big bread. Thank you. And look at the bread. And we've got one more cup. Oh, beautifully done. Thank you. Thank you. You may all be seated. I'll see you in a few minutes. It is the tradition of this church to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month. And so, folks at home, I invite you, if you haven't already done so, to find yourself a bit of food and drink. Here in the sanctuary, we're having gluten-free bread and grape juice. Folks in person, you'll be invited to come forward, take the bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it right away. You can also raise your hand and we'll serve you in your seat. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list. And you are also invited to email your prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Lorraine. Lorraine is celebrating that the Red Sox are in second place. Seems like a miracle. Thank you, Lorraine. Above the real joy is that the Red Sox are above the Yankees. Dee Dee. Do we have permission? Oh. I don't have permission. Okay. Do you have permission? We are praying for all people who are bringing to life new creatures, ideas, and humans. I just want to be very respectful. Thank you, Dee Dee. Declan. Joyful for nature. I wasn't sure if the word was buddy or bunny.
Bunny.
We are grateful for nature and all the ways in which creation shows up. Beautiful. Thank you. No bunnies were hurt in the sharing of this prayer joy. Doug. I saw a picture and decided not to read the article. So Goose, the water monitor lizard, has been found. And will be living in an appropriate locale for all. Thank you, Doug. Carolyn. We have more rainbows out front. Cecilia S. Sewed some more flags together, so we have rainbows on our railings because another church in town had rainbows on their railings, and we got a little jelly. So huge thanks to Cecilia for doing that. Thanks. Other joys this morning. June, do you have any joys over there? Sandy is lifting up the joy of being an awesome mom, which comes with so many burdens, including sometimes your kids just being really mad at you because you're doing things right. So Sandy, we appreciate that perspective and also hold you in prayer because being such a good mom like that is so hard. Yes, yes. But they're great, and that's all that matters. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Hey, Karen. Karen's principal died. And what was her name again? Sister Mary. Sister Edward Mary. We hold her spirit in our prayers and our gratitude for all the lives she touched. Thanks, Karen. Other concerns? June, do you have any concerns? I have a couple on my list. We're holding the Chapone family in prayer. A family member is going through a medical procedure this week, so we hold them in prayer. From Bob B., one of his friends, the child is living with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, 22 years old and stable at the moment, but it's always a roller coaster, so prayers for that friend. And also from Bob B., prayers for another friend in their family who are dealing with the death of a grandchild. Connie S. Has been dealing with an electrolyte imbalance and has been in inpatient rehab. She is getting her strength back and hopefully will be home soon. Did I miss anything? Okay. So the living God looks upon each of us with love and says, "You are welcome at my table." The living God looks upon each of us with compassion and says, "Whatever troubles you, bring it here." The living God looks upon each one of us with grace and says, whatever you need to let go of, leave it here. Will you come? Will you bring your troubles? Will you shed the unnecessary baggage in your life? This is the place where you need not be perfect. This is the place where you need not be sure of yourself or your faith. This is the place where you need not feel whole and right with the world. This is the place where God meets you and walks with you the whole way. One night in an occupied land, Jesus took bread, broke it, and shared it with his friends. He told them, "This bread, broken, is like my body." "Whenever you break bread together," Jesus said, "remember me." He knew that the powers that be were going to break his body. But he also knew that wouldn't be the end of the story. That his body and all broken bodies would rise again in love. In the same region where Jesus broke that bread, so many bodies are being broken now. The people of Gaza are starving. The children of Gaza are dying. The bodies of God's beloved children in Gaza are breaking. What does it mean to share bread and cup today when siblings in so many places around the world have nothing to eat? Perhaps we should fast instead. Refuse to eat this feast until no one is denied the bread of life. We will eat today. But in the words of Mary Ludi, may we celebrate this communion as a protest, as a ritual of defiance, a raised fist, a refusal to look away, a refusal to forget. We will eat and drink in lament and pain, raising to presence and visibility along with Christ every victim of this atrocity, gaunt and pleading and reaching for bread. There should be tears in our bread. Our bread should taste like tears. Will you join me in blessing this loaf and cup? My friends on the playground, I particularly need your help in blessing this bread and cup. Will you join me? I invite your praying hands to face this way. It is so important that our children in particular are blessed in this time and place. God, we see you in the starving children. We see you in the grieving parents. We see you in the broken bodies. Bless this bread of the earth and fruit of the vine. May it fill us, not with comfort or complacency, but with the knowledge that in this meal, we are bound together with all your people. At this table today, we are surrounded by people starving in Sudan, Haiti, Mali, and Palestine. May this meal somehow be the beginning of a world where all who hunger are fed. Amen. Beloved, sharing the bread, reminder of God's presence, we become God's body in the world. Sharing the cup, a sign of God's love, we are strengthened in our relationship with God. Let us eat and drink together, celebrating our covenant relationship to each other and to God. There will not be music playing as we celebrate communion together, but the sound of this community moving together will be the music we need. Please come forward. Will you join me in a prayer of thanksgiving? Thank you, God, for our hands, stronger now to touch, reach, hold, serve. Thank you, God, for our eyes, clearly focused now to see deep needs and gifts in all our brothers and sisters and siblings. Thank you, God, for our tongues, free now to speak your praise in love and joy. Thank you, God, for our ears, tuned now to the cries in our world for bread and justice. Thank you, God, for our feet, running now with you. Amen.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
In the early church, sharing communion was solidly linked with taking a collection to care for poor people. If you ate from the loaf and drank from the cup, but did not do what you could to make sure others could eat and drink, you weren't actually sharing communion. You were just having a snack. Maybe that's where the tradition of the communion fund comes from, this offering taken on communion Sundays that is then used to help people pay rent and buy food and keep their electricity on. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the offering, we see this as a continuation of our communion service, our commitment to a world where all are welcome and all are fed. God of abundance, bless these gifts, but especially those who might eat tonight because of this generosity. Amen. Our closing hymn is Be Thou My Vision. I'm going to go get the note. Following the benediction, you are, those of you on site, are invited to coffee and conversation hosted by Jeff and Robin. Those of you online, we will see you next week with actual music. Deep peace of the quiet earth to you. Deep peace of the garden soil to you. Deep peace of the sparkling sand to you. Deep peace of the muddy path to you. Deep peace of the god of dirt to you. Go in peace. Amen.